Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
Brethren, each time I come to this pulpit to try to preach to you a lesson, I have a very genuine desire to want to instruct you in the ways of God, to bring you something that would be either uplifting or encouraging, to give you God's guidance for this life and toward heaven, to also bring to you God's warnings, to commend what God commends, to condemn what God condemns. And this morning, I want to try to help us understand a biblical concept that God has used, that the Holy Spirit has revealed, to help portray to us our relationship with God as Christian people. I call your attention to a passage of Scripture from Galatians chapter 3, beginning with verse 22 and reading to the end of the chapter. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which would afterward be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile or Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I want us to focus on the phrase of being the seed of Abraham or children of Abraham. There are many people who are called the children of Abraham, both in a physical and also a spiritual sense, including those of us who are Christians. Now, why are we called children of Abraham? In what sense are we a child or descendant of Abraham? Just what does it mean to be of the seed of Abraham? And being children of Abraham, what does this say about our relationship to God? This is a concept that God has given, as I have stated, to help us understand our relationship to Him. First, we need to focus our attention upon that great patriarch named Abraham, with which I am sure all of you who are Bible students are familiar. Because Abraham is one of the better known characters of the Bible. Abraham was called by God to leave his home in the Ur of Chaldee to go to a land that God would show him. And God gave Abraham a number of great promises. He was the recipient of the promise that he would be the father of a great nation. That nation came to be Israel. He would have descendants that would be as innumerable as the sands of the sea and as the stars of the heavens. This would include not only Israel, but many others. God said that He would bless those that blessed Him and that He would curse those that cursed Him, a promise of God's protection and God's providence. And He said that Abraham's seed would have a land that would be their own, which would be the land of Canaan. And then He also said that in thy seed shall all the families, all of the nations of the earth be blessed. And in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16, the inspired Paul tells us that this had reference to the Christ. Christ was a descendant of Abraham, and through the Christ, all nations would be blessed. Abraham is often referred to because of this passage of Scripture, if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. He's called the father of the faithful. And certainly it is a great commendation of this man that James states in James 2 and verse 3 that he was called a friend of God. So Abraham has children in a physical sense. First there was Ishmael, and then Isaac, and the descendants that came from them. And then there were other children. Eventually, after the death of Sarah, he married Keturah and had sons and daughters by Keturah. So there were many people that were the fleshly descendants of Abraham. All of the Arabs, as well as the Jews, are physical descendants of Abraham, the Arabs through Ishmael and through Esau, and the Jewish people through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. But also there are those who are spiritually the descendants and seed and children of Abraham. And they are those that make up the family of God. Now, fleshly Israel was not only the physical descendant of Abraham, but also the family of God for a number of years. They were God's chosen people. And they became so by virtue of being born into that family and being in a covenant relationship with God. But today, God's family is the church. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. And we become a part of God's family by the new birth. There is a spiritual Israel, and that is the church of Christ. Now, there was a message by John the Baptist that relates to this matter of being children of Abraham that I wish to read to you from Matthew 3, beginning with verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, now he's speaking to a group of Jewish people who were the fleshly descendants of Abraham. O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now here he was speaking to people who for generations had been God's people, God's family, descendants of Abraham, a fleshly descendant of Abraham. But John the Baptist, in his work to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord, John the Baptist, to show the coming universality of Christianity, John the Baptist showed that those who were the fleshly descendants of Abraham would no longer have that special spiritual status simply by virtue of being a fleshly descendant or child of Abraham. That was coming to an end. Well, who then would be the child of Abraham and of the Father? In Romans chapter 9, verses 6 through 8, Paul wrote, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Now, he uses the word Israel here in two senses. They are not all spiritual Israel simply because they are physical Israelites. Neither because are they the seed of Abraham, in a fleshly sense, are they all children, that is, children of God. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Who makes up spiritual Israel? Why, it would be, as the Apostle Peter preached at the household of Cornelius, of the truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is acceptable with him. Acts 10, 34 and 35. So spiritual Israel is not made up of fleshly Israel. It is made up of those who come to God through Christ. And that seems nothing but logical and sensible that all men would be included in this great blessing, because after all, it was promised to Abraham that in his seed all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And the Apostle Paul brought out, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That would be Jew and Gentile. Therefore, all stand in need of salvation. Therefore, the blessings of God are not just confined to those of fleshly Israel, but spiritual Israel, God's family, are those who come to Christ. Those who belong to Christ of God's family. Those who are in God's family, they are the spiritual children of Abraham. And friend, those who are not children of Abraham are still out of Christ, and those who are out of Christ are not in God's family. Not His spiritual family. Let me ask you, how do people become members of their fleshly families? Well, they either come by birth or by adoption. And the New Testament uses both of these to depict, to illustrate, how one becomes a member of God's spiritual family. Not that there are two ways to become a child of God spiritually, that's not it. But it's illustrated and demonstrated in two ways, both by birth as well as by adoption. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the church. The church is the family. The family is the kingdom. You must be born again to be in God's family. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Christ emphasized it was not a physical birth of which he was speaking, but a spiritual one. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." And when one is born, he is a new creature. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Where is one a new creature? Why, it is that in which the Bible calls in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. But we're also spoken of as having been adopted. In Galatians 4:4-5. "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman and made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." A similar thought is presented to us in that great book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse 15. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God." So one is either born, or another way of putting it, he is adopted into the family of God. And it is they which are of faith that are the children of Abraham, or the family of God. In Galatians 3 and verse 7, Paul said, "Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." Not those of some special fleshly nation, but those who are of the faith of Jesus Christ. They are called children of Abraham. Now listen, dear people. It is not surprising at all that Christian people are called the children of Abraham, being children of faith. Seeing how Abraham was a man of faith, he was an example and is an example of faith. He was a man that acted on his faith. Now Jesus spoke to this matter in John chapter 8, beginning with verse 37. He is speaking here to Jewish people. "I know that ye are Abraham's seed," in the fleshly sense, "but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." Now, Jesus said, "You've got a different father than I do." They were all Jews. But he's speaking spiritually. Now, you've got a different spiritual father than I. And they were angered at that, not knowing the understanding as yet, the distinctions that he was making. He said, "If ye were Abraham's children," or they said, "Abraham is our father." And he said, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham." Now, the works of Abraham, as I'm going to point out to you in a moment, included faith and obedience. He said, "If you were really the children of Abraham, you would do like Abraham." But now he said, "You seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father." And they said unto him, "We are not born of fornication. We have one father, even God." Notice the rebuke Christ gave. "If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but He sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. Here were people, fleshly descendants of Abraham, but Jesus says, spiritually, you are of the devil. And you don't have the same spiritual father as did Jesus Christ. They thought themselves acceptable to God simply on the basis that they were fleshly descendants of Abraham. But they were not. Now, Jesus points out here, and all of us have been able to observe, even in our own lives, children behave like their parents. Someone, in looking for some explanation as to why so many young people behave so badly as they do, this may well be some of the explanation. Children do take after their parents. Children of the devil will follow the ways of the devil. The children of God will go the way of God, and those that go the way of God, these are the ones that are called the children of Abraham. And the children of Abraham, you see, will be people of faith like Abraham was a person of faith. Galatians 3 and verse 6, Romans 4 and verse 3, quoting from Genesis 15 and verse 6, tells us that Abraham was justified by faith. It doesn't say Abraham was justified by faith alone. Abraham was justified by faith. And the Scripture tells us when Abraham was justified by faith. In James chapter 2, verse 20, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" Abraham did not have a dead faith, notice. "Was not Abraham our father justified by works, when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works," not one or the other, "one with the other, and by works was faith made perfect. And the Scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Abraham believed, but Abraham acted on that faith. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went." God called him. He believed God. He did what God told him. You see that process? He heard. He believed. He obeyed. Abraham was a man of faith. In verse 17, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son." God called Abraham to take Isaac to Mount Moriah and offer him as a sacrifice. Abraham believed in God. Abraham obeyed God. He did what God told him to do. That was the way Abraham was justified by faith. Now, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, we too are justified by faith. Paul said, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, when are we justified by faith? Our text tells us, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ did put on Christ." Notice, friend, he says, you are. You are what? You are, by faith, the children of God. When does one become a child of God by faith? He said, you are because you have been. You have been what? You have been baptized. You are because you have been. You are a child of God by faith because you have been baptized into Christ. Therefore, friend, if you have not been baptized into Christ, you are not a child of God. Now we need to understand that. All of us do. The world needs to understand that. Paul makes it clear we are children of God by faith and tells us when. Just like Abraham was justified by faith and tells us when. You are because you have been. Furthermore, the children of Abraham were circumcised as a token of the covenant between God and Abraham, Genesis chapter 17 and verse 10. Those who were not circumcised were not in covenant relationship. At least the males on the eighth day were to be circumcised. The seriousness of this is seen as we read in the book of Exodus. When God called Moses to go to the land of Egypt to deliver Israel, his sons had not yet been circumcised, and God threatened to kill them until they were brought into covenant relationship with him. But now today, circumcision has nothing to do with our salvation and has no spiritual significance at all, like it did under the law of Moses. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5, "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith." That's what avails. "But faith which worketh by love." Here's the motivation, love. Here's the action, works of obedience. And this is faith at work. Circumcision doesn't have anything to do with one's salvation one way or another. It's not wrong. It's not right. It just has no more to do with it than changing spark plugs in your car. There's just nothing to it. It's completely been abolished. This is what brought Paul into so much conflict with so many Jewish people as he converted them to Christ, because they wanted to hold on to certain tenets of the old Mosaic law which had been nailed to the cross. And circumcision particularly, and that's the reason the Judaizing teachers were always harassing Paul. But under Christ, there is a circumcision. It's a spiritual circumcision. It's a circumcision that Paul calls a circumcision of the heart. This is obviously a physical expression, but it denotes the cutting away of sin from the heart, whereby we enter into a spiritual covenant relationship with God. Notice Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. Paul said, "For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh." That's not the kind of circumcision Paul says we need to emphasize. "But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly." Notice now. "And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit," that is according to the gospel, "and not in the letter," that is not according to the law of Moses, "but whose praise is not of men, but of God." There is a spiritual circumcision. Philippians 3 and verse 3 says, "For we are the circumcision." We are the ones that are in covenant relationship with God, Paul says to these Christian brethren, "which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." Well, when is this circumcision accomplished? Now, under the old Mosaic law, it was on the eighth day after the birth of the male. But now, when is it accomplished in Christianity? We are told. We had it specified. Colossians chapter 2, beginning with verse 11. "Ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands." It's not a fleshly circumcision. It's a spiritual circumcision. What is this circumcision? "In putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." It's a circumcision authorized by Christ. It's a circumcision of the religion of Jesus Christ. It is the cutting away of sins from the heart. And when does that take place? "Buried with him in baptism, where also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead." This spiritual circumcision of the heart, God is the one that operates. God is the one that cuts away sin from the heart. God is the one that saves through Christ. When does God do that? When is one circumcised of heart? Paul says, when we are buried with him in baptism. And that's what brings us into covenant relationship with God. And that's when, spiritually, we become children of Abraham. Just like those others, fleshly became the children of Abraham. One other point, and the lesson is yours. When we talk about being children of Abraham walk in steps of faithfulness. That was characteristic of the person Abraham. Galatians 3 and verse 9, he is called a faithful Abraham. Christian people are aware that Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." You see, dear friend, the promises that were made to Abraham and to his seed are, spiritually speaking, to those in Christ. Now, some of the promises that God gave Abraham would apply to fleshly Israel, like being a great nation and a multitude of descendants and having a land their own and all of that. But others, through whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed, extend to spiritual Israel, and the spiritual blessings from God are to be found in Christ. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places are in Christ. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. And so it behooves us to know how we come to partake of these blessings. Notice what Abraham did. When Abraham was called of God, he responded obediently. He wouldn't have done that if he hadn't believed God. He was called, he believed, he obeyed. Notice what he did. That was in Genesis 12. In Genesis 13, we read of him building altars for worship unto God. In Genesis 14, we read of him paying tithes to Melchizedek. And Genesis 15, it is then stated that he believed and it was counted unto him for righteousness. His faith, coupled with his works of obedience, caused him in the sight of God to be looked upon as righteous. In Genesis 26 and verse 5 tells us, "Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." He heard, he believed, he obeyed. That's exactly the way we are children of Abraham. That's exactly the way we become children of God and God's family. God calls us by the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14. We're called when the gospel is preached. Dear friend, I do not exalt what I'm trying to do here today simply because of myself, but I'm preaching to you the gospel. This is the way God has designed to call you. This is God appealing to you through His Word, providing for you evidence whereby you can believe. And to be a child of Abraham, a member of God's family, a recipient of spiritual blessings that God has promised to that family, you must belong to Christ, and you will be in Christ when you obey what the Lord has said, even to be baptized into Christ, where sins are cut away and where you're brought into this father, son, or daughter relationship with God. I know of no better way to close this lesson on the seed of Abraham than to read to you the final verse of our text. "And if ye be Christ," and that's with an apostrophe S, that is a possession of Christ, if you belong to Him, "then," not before, "then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, heirs of God, to receive the blessings and the benefits and the inheritance of God." Dear friend, salvation then is being a child of Abraham, synonymous with being a child of God, synonymous with being in Christ. We would plead with you, therefore, to respect the Holy Spirit's description of this relationship with God. Take advantage of your opportunity to enter into that relationship with Him as His child, penitent of heart, to confess that faith and to be buried with Him in baptism, to be raised to walk in a newness of life, a new creature, adopted by the Lord, or in other words, born into His family by the new birth, to be faithful as Abraham was faithful, and to know the joy of in fellowship with God.